Good morning and welcome to the Preventing Grace podcast. It is July 12th and there's a large noise outside our window that we can't do anything about because we can't close the window.
There's also a very large dog with his nose very close to the microphone, so if he starts breathing heavy or licking,
it's going to be great.
That's the dog, not either of us.
And I did not mean to not blog yesterday or Friday, but I have in my, I'm embracing middle age, and that means that if I add something, unexpected something has to go away. So I had to do something else over the weekend, which meant that I couldn't wake up early enough to blog. It's called reality. And this truck is there, so great. Right. But so I feel bad about not writing because then I don't feel human, and it's very important. My feelings about myself and how I feel are really important because they are a pretty good measure of reality. That's not what we're talking about today.
No, but
although I would have
it
liked is,
it
to.
Has been an exhausting weekend. A good one though. Ife is installed as rector at Holy Trinity.
Yeah,
our former assistant. He was at Good Shepherd for 10 years. I guess 10 years. He came as a college student, and
he came in the first church before he lost the lawsuit, and was there for, and then he was youth minister and then assistant.
Yep.
And he got married, and now he has 4 boys. Yeah. So great.
Yeah. And he's, yeah. And so now both 2 guys who served at Good Shepherd are just very close to us now as rectors of, or leaders of various different congregations.
It feels like the Middle Ages, like you become a pastor, you don't leave your hometown or whatever. Everybody stays where they are. That's what it's like now. Yeah. You live within a 50-mile radius of your start in life.
Uh-huh. Like Jesus.
I guess Syracuse is farther, though, than...
It's an hour away.
Yeah. So because of that, I couldn't do other things. And I have something unexpected to do today, so this can't be very long, which will be fine because we were going to say the same thing that we say every time.
No, this is different.
I wanted to talk about Oprah, but instead we're going to talk more about Anglicanism.
Well, not necessarily Anglicanism, but...
Well, not Anglicanism, but...
Things
going on in the world. And we're not really going to talk about them, I hope. We're not going to actually talk about them. But there was somebody said something foolish on Twitter. So,
well, you might remember that, what was it? I think it was a good 3 or 4 months ago, maybe longer, that the ACNA College of Bishops put out a statement on the gay Anglican movement, which is this idea, or just the idea of people who are inclined to be attracted to people of the same sex, but who, have committed not to act on those attractions, and yet still want to identify with them. So, I'll just very briefly say what this is, because we've talked about it so many times. But the modern notion of your identity is that you look inside yourself, you see who you're attracted to or what you're attracted to, and then you map yourself on this kind of extended gender grid.
I love how you're like just using map now.
Well, they use it. They map yourself on the gender grid, and so like there's 25,000 genders you can choose from depending on what you're attracted to, and all of that is just novel. It's nothing. It's a modern creation, and it's actually antithetical to the Christian faith, because in the scriptures we find our identity revealed to us. You're either male or you're female, and if you're male, you should be attracted to females, and vice versa. And if you find something within you that's not that, then that's not something to identify with. That's something to confess as sin. So anyway, that's basically what the what the College of Bishops said. One of the bishops who headed up the committee that was putting together the statement is Stuart Ruck. And he's the bishop of the Upper Midwest, I think. And he's complementarian as well as this. So he's got a pretty traditional ethic with regard to the roles of men and women in marriage and in the church. And recently there's been controversy in his diocese because a lay leader in a certain church has been accused of abusing a child. And it does seem, I don't know, we don't know the details, so we're not going to talk about the details, but it seems like a terrible situation all around. And it seems like the accusations seem credible. And the police have been involved, which is good. They've been involved from the beginning. It's a very good thing. But there are allegations that the pastors around the lay leader were much more careful about caring for the accused rather than the victim. And that Bishop Ruck was also negligent in that regard. That's the allegation. Now, again, we don't know the facts, so we're not going to talk about that. But he has issued a statement saying that he's going to be stepping aside for a time, and he didn't resign. He's just going to step aside from his office for a time while there's an investigation going on into the affair. So all around, this is a tragic situation. This is terrible for the person who's abused. So there's no
good way out.
There's no good way, right? It's terrible. And you know, if Bishop Ruck was in some way negligent, or if someone, and it seems at least someone was, then there should certainly be some kind of consequence for that. I'm not sure what it would be, but the reason we wanted to talk about it is not to cover the issue, since we don't know enough to make any kind of grand sweeping gesture.
I guess one could say, and I mean this, one of the great irritations I have about social media is that everybody's invited, and it becomes necessary to say something that is not controversial, as if it's brave. So you have to come out and say abusing children is really, really wrong. Right. And I just want to come out in a stunning way and right. say it's wrong to abuse women and children.
Right. Yeah.
Like, it's like saying racism is bad.
Right.
It is really bad.
Right,
like,
right, right.
Those things are really bad, and they have always been bad, and Christians have known that they've always been bad. You shouldn't get
right.
Points or more credibility for saying something that's obviously true, but that's how the game
it should
played.
Also be said, though, that there is not a church structure, there's not a political structure, there's not a legal structure that will prevent with 100% effectiveness sin. So this is a terrible sin, and churches should do. I know every church should do everything they can to protect the children there, but the modern tendency is to leap toward this idea that utopia is possible on Earth.
Yeah,
and so when sin breaks out, it must be something that we can systemically change. There must be something we can systemically change to make it not happen. So I heard one tweet was, "Well, this is why hierarchy is bad."
But
so hierarchy is bad. So
situations where there's no hierarchy and there's lots of abuse, and
right.
everybody says, "Well, where was the hierarchy? Hierarchy is good. We should have had hierarchy."
I mean, I think we talked about this before, but you've had plenty of experiences of sexual I mean, not what we would say. Suggestions
about
to you made within by very egalitarian and people who think women
who
equal,
who pretend to respect
in every way.
Women.
And and who would maybe even call themselves feminists. You've had men who would call themselves feminists have hit on you in seminary and in all kinds of places.
So it's not just hit on you either.
Just like regular. I mean, it was pretty. So you're a victim of.
Oh no, I'm not. I'm not playing that game. I'm not playing this game. That's what it is, though. It feels like a game.
But I'm saying is, but the idea that there's some kind of structure that we could put in place would stop it. I don't think that's true. I think there's structures we can put in place that would restrain it. That's what the laws do.
But what's also very, we haven't even talked about the thing, but deeply aggravating to me is that a lot of Christians seem really happy to have cut away all the societal supports against that protect women and children and even mitigate against racism. Like a lot of progressives have actively worked to cut away every single societal and cultural support that protect women and children and mitigate against racism. And then having done that, then they want to be angry and appalled that about the abuse of women and children and the rise of racism. So you want to burn it all down. You want to burn it all down. And then when it's all burned down and people are living into their true selves and like following the inner light.
Well, teaching men that there's no such thing as masculinity. That there's no such thing as a man. The traditional idea of the man as a protector and provider is a vestige of evil patriarchy. Well, okay. Then
you don't have women and children
protected or provided for.
Right. And they are then open to abuse and devastating and terrible things.
Right.
And of course, when the whole society is crumbling to the ground, when you go to the church and the church is like battling against, I don't know, it's just trying to cope. Of course, in every single denomination, including the Southern Baptists who have lately had their, you're going to have wicked people come in and do wicked things and you're going to have to cope with them. I mean, and I guess it's the shock, like, I can't believe this would happen.
Right.
Everybody, you know, how could this happen? That just always amazes me online every single day.
Well, it tells me that we don't have a robust understanding of sin and human nature. So there should definitely be serious consequences. I mean, just biblically speaking,
biblical social justice. Let's
if we're going to have actual biblical justice, the person who abuses the child is executed immediately.
And that puts
a kibosh on abuse much faster than, you know, kind of systemic change. I mean, I guess if we want systemic change, we should go back to, immediate consequences. And deadly consequences for this kind of sin, for rape, for murder, for those sorts of things. Immediate public execution once the facts have been established.
No prison time.
You'd have to have
witnesses. Like you'd have to have credible witnesses come forward, and then justice. So that's why I keep saying I feel like nobody thinks that racism or sexual abuse is that bad, because there aren't really consequences to it other than just sort of moral outrage on the internet, which isn't quite the same thing.
Right.
Anyway.
So the point of this, we want to podcast about this, is not because of this, but because of how some people in the ACNA are using this episode to further
burn everything down.
An ideological agenda. So, and right up front, I mean, the person at the front of this is Dr. Scott McKnight, who's one of the canon theologians of churches for the sake of others, who tweeted, I think it was over the weekend, who tweeted this. He where is my when Stuart Ruck was agitating tirelessly to prevent gay Christians from calling themselves gay Christians, this was occurring under his watch. Right, so the question we need to ask, first of all, is what on earth do the two things have to do with each other? Nothing. In fact, you know, he and Dr. McGowan, who's a, what's her first name?
Emily
McGowan, who is also a C4SO, canon theologian, have both been tweeting about this, and not only them, but some other people who are connected with them as well. But it turns out there's a priest of C4SO named Matt Tebb, who writes that he met with Bishop Hunter, who's the bishop of the of C4SO, and he's been kind of encouraged to go after Bishop Ruck
online.
So the
hello.
Yeah, I'm just making sure. It seems like there's a concerted action, not just to care for the abuse victims, but to take down Bishop Ruck. And if that's allowed to go forward, we're looking at, okay, so if Bishop Ruck was really negligent, fine, there's consequences, but this is not just about the abuse. This is about furthering an agenda, and especially about the gay Anglican issue.
Right, trying to horn in on this, right, to get back,
right,
about the gay Anglican letter.
Right. There's a theology out there that Christian Dumais. It's interesting that Scott McKnight's in this, because Scott McKnight was in the launch team for
Beth Allison
Barr's book, Biblical Womanhood, and he led a launch party, I guess, with her and Dumais. And both women in their books have argued that complementarianism breeds abuse. It's inherently an abusive system, and so when abuse takes place within a complementarian context, that's a confirmation of their ideology. And that's why I think this case is so enticing to them, and they've latched onto it Scott McKnight's latched onto it as an affirmation of
something he already knew.
Right? And he's pushing this out, and it's really disgusting, actually, to use someone's pain in this way to further your ideological point.
Yeah, and before there's been all of the,
right,
before we actually even know
what happened, right, exactly.
It isn't. I mean, are you saying it's disgusting because he thought my book review was disgusting?
No, yeah, he used that word for your book review about Dumais. He didn't name your book review. Everyone knows who he's talking about.
I feel like.
Because you were the only one who was really negative at the time. So,
I mean, there's been more negative reviews since then.
Right, right. So it reminds me a little bit of the kind of glee that people seem to have after a mass shooting when they can go after the gun. They can go after guns. You hear, I mean, like immediately,
it takes 5 minutes
after a mass shooting for somebody to get on the camera and say, this is why we need to ban guns, or this is why we need to have stricter gun laws. They capitalize on death and pain in order to push
a particular solution.
Right, a revolutionary solution.
So that's all, that's just what we wanted to complain about.
Yeah.
You're still looking at something.
Yeah, I'm just, I didn't want to say until I had this look. I basically said what I wanted to say.
Well, I guess I haven't, I don't think that there's a connection between, in fact, I think that inviting more identification with one's sexuality is the main source of purpose and meaning doesn't make it better for abuse, preventing abuse. So Bishop Ruck, being the author of the Gay Anglican Letter, or not the author, but on the committee,
he's one of the writers. He and another bishop.
But sorry, not of the Gay Anglican Letter, but of the bishop's
response to
Revoice.
Right.
Is a slow way of trying to rebuild some of the walls that are being torn down so actively. And I don't know, it might be too little too late to even try to do that, but it doesn't, the presence of sin and destruction in an organization that people are trying to destroy doesn't mean that the structures have caused the destruction.
There's just not a human structure that isn't going to be susceptible to human sin. It's just doesn't exist. There's not an institution.
So if you,
that's not to excuse it, but it's just to say, you can't tear everything down just because something happens.
But if you also insist on saying that the human person is good at her core, his core, mm-hmm. that there's nothing wrong with people, that they have so fallen short of the glory of God that there's a catastrophe that only God himself can heal, and people need to be brought into the healing light of the gospel. Mm-hmm. To undermine and deny that mm-hmm. means that the small bulwarks that you would have had are also swept away in a mighty flood. Just a terrible thing to do, and then to complain about the result is why I'm highly, highly irritated.
Right. Well, this is the problem
with the
Dumé
option.
Right. Well, I mean, okay, this is what happens decenter the gospel, right? Yeah. When the actual gospel about Jesus's work, his life, death, and resurrection to save sinners, is set aside, and instead the gospel becomes us doing justice, us enacting kingdom justice, or they'll call it kingdom justice on earth, then of course there's no forgiveness. There's no seeking to save the lost.
But there's no hope for the victim either. I
right.
mean, there's just no hope anywhere
right.
for anyone.
You everything has to come down and it has to be rebuilt according to your preferences and your understanding of what justice is. So again, it's not this is, we got to be careful because neither one of us is saying that, okay, do the structures of the Diocese of Midwest need to be examined? Of course. Do the safety measures that are in place to guard abuse, do they need to be strengthened? Of course. Is there something that needs to be done as a consequence of this? Of course. Yes, yes, yes. But the capitalization on people's pain in order to push forward an agenda is just reprehensible. I think people should lose their collars over things like that, because that's an abuse of your calling as a minister of the gospel. It's also as interesting because a lot of the people who are pushing this kind of thing are former Baptists, and so they're bringing in, I love Baptists, but they're bringing in they're former liberal Baptists who are angry about their upbringing and they're
embarrassed about
their fundamentalist past, I guess, or their fundamentalist parents, And so they kind of bring that angst and that anger into this, and pushing within Anglicanism their former.
Yeah, and they don't, like, what's interesting, people who think that the Episcopal Church, you know, we need to get over that and we need to all be friends and get past this little rift that we had with the Episcopal Church. But one interesting thing about Me Too, the Me Too movement, is that the Episcopal Church really hasn't had a reckoning of that, but it really could have.
Yeah.
The Episcopal Church, the sexual sin in the Episcopal Church could have had a reckoning, but it didn't, because it was before Me Too. It was before, right, Donald Trump. It was before all that. And if it had, if anybody had tried to start it, it wouldn't have really gone anywhere, I don't think, because bishops were allowed to do very wicked things in the Episcopal Church. Yeah. And keeping bishops, or maybe they'd be quietly retired, but right, nobody was ever brought up on charges. There was no. And now, incidentally, in the AC, for people who are upset about the ACNA and trying to do ACNA too, here's, yes, a little thing. In the ACNA, in our diocese, people have been taken out overnight because, yeah, of things that you might not even think are a sin. Like, the care and the attention to this particular issue because of our past,
right,
is something you cannot even imagine how quickly and swiftly justice moves, right, if a priest is caught.
Yeah.
So if, like, again, and I think College of Bishops has taken these kinds of things very seriously. Think a bishop has actually been removed, right, over a question like this.
Right.
So don't burn down something that has been very thoughtfully considered because of your ideology.
What makes this even more suspicious is the, you mentioned the case a minute ago, Bishop Hobby in Pittsburgh was retired or resigned because of a sexual abuse case in that diocese. The difference is it was a homosexual abuse case. And none of the voices presently being raised against Bishop Brock said,
yeah,
did anything.
There, I mean, was no, there should was no have me, been was, an absolute outcry.
There was
on
no
Twitter
Me Too movement. Yeah, but no, but you know why? Because Bishop Hobby's on the right side of the woke divide. He's a progressive, and so there's no Me Too with him.
College of Bishops took it really seriously. Right,
they moved him down. All right, exactly. Yeah, why would you think that they would do any differently?
They're going to take it, right, seriously. They are taking it seriously with Bishop Ruck.
Right.
But again, don't. It's just
one of the things is that Bishop Hobby doesn't. Bishop Hobby's, the fact that there is an abuse case within Bishop Hobby's diocese doesn't comport with the ideology that egalitarians, these things don't happen in egalitarian dioceses. These things happen
in complementarian situations.
Context, right? No, this, yeah, happens in.
No, it actually happens.
Right, right.
It can happen anywhere, even in a very godly and good diocese under a godly and good bishop. It's possible that people will come into the church and sin, which, right, is why we have,
right,
so many structures and guardrails for such a time as this. And I didn't want to talk about this because I didn't want to get worked up. I guess I just don't like, okay, don't, there's no, right, here's what, there's no ACNA too. Mm-hmm. There is a new, the ACNA exists because of Me Too issues that before Me Too in the Episcopal Church.
Yeah.
We left the Episcopal Church over heresy and rampant
sexual
heresy that saw the destruction of actual people.
Right.
And it was worth leaving over. And the church that came out of that had learned from that. But a part of battling sexual sin and abuse and wickedness is having proper theology, yeah. Orthodox theology about the human body, about who God is, about what he thinks, and centering the scriptures, you know, not chucking over inerrancy or being sneering at people who have a traditional view of men and women or a complementarian view, or trying to fight a political to burn it down. I know I keep saying that.
Right.
That's not the way to get less abuse.
Right. Right. You know, so it reminds me that there was a, who is that guy who is in charge of this really patriarchal organization who brought in some 17-year-old girl to be his...
The Vision Forum. Vision Forum. That guy was a... I don't know, but he was so wicked. I mean, right. It was enough to make you throw up in your mouth reading about it.
He brought in a 17-year-old babysitter or something like that.
He had like 17 children. I mean, his wife had given birth so many times, but then he had an affair with a nanny very young
person. So that was a horrible situation that progressives used to say, look, it's because of this guy's theology about the family that this happened. And I mean, no. That happens with people who have the opposite theology about family.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what your theology about family is. You still consent. You can be allowed as a liberal progressive, or you can be allowed as a conservative. You can be wicked regardless of your ideology. And I don't think any ideology, actually, I don't think either ideology necessarily makes it any easier to be wicked than the other. I guess if you had a theology that actually says, okay, you should go have sex with little kids, that would
I think there are people in the church who are trying to have it both ways,
right.
Who think that we should have ethical porn, for instance. I think if you want more pedophilia, let's do the ethical porn option for
Nadia
Bowles Weber.
Says that.
Yeah. So but she's not a Christian. The problem is that she claims to be a Christian.
Right.
She self-identifies as a Christian.
Lutheran pastor.
So you shouldn't be surprised though when there's a, I mean, it may take 50 years before there's a reckoning on the other side.
Right.
And it's tragic that Me Too didn't extend so far as the progressive realm of the church, or I wouldn't call it the church, but
right.
Anyway,
it was interesting, you know, the history of abuse within patriarchal systems that Beth Ellison Barr was writing, who did and didn't appear in that history. You know, Bill Clinton didn't appear in that in that history of, because he doesn't fit the bill, right? He's a liberal progressive who also is a jerk, who also committed sexual assault and abuse, but he has the right theology, he has the right political view, so it doesn't count. It only counts when it fits when it confirms our theology, our theological or an ideological position.
So, well, thank you for coming to our podcast, our TED Talk.
Man, this is a Walmart, or man, this is a Wendy's. Or that, have you seen that meme? Like,
oh yeah, man. Like they want something insane,
right?
And you're like, this is a Wendy's.
Right. Sorry, this is a Wendy's.
I've been watching TED Talks, so you know what the problem with TED Talks is?
What?
There's like a huge range. Some of them are really good and some of them are really terrible.
I can't stand watching TED Talks.
It's sort of an interesting genre. It is a self-help. But I was trying to help myself, so I watched a bunch of...
You need to read the Bible.
You know what? You know what the Bible doesn't talk about? Hormonal imbalances at mid-age. Where is the special diet? Maybe I should do the Ezekiel or Daniel diet.
I mean, I guess it does talk about it, but not really necessarily helpful.
It doesn't say anything about...
Like Sarah says to her husband, why don't you take Hagar here?
Yeah, that's
that's not helpful.
That's the postmenopausal option. And I was thinking that maybe I wouldn't do that. Yeah. So I don't want to cut this short, but I do have to go somewhere.
Right.
And
it's a nice short little
Yeah. talk. I think we've said everything we have to say on this question.
Yeah. Yeah.
And but we probably will be taking a break because we're going to be on vacation and we're not going to be within range of the internet a lot of the time, which is going to be really good. And so I'm going to blog this week. And I might blog intermittently during our vacation, but I might not. I'm not sure yet. And I think the podcast is going to be on a little bit of a hiatus. But that'll be good because then it'll make you miss us. And you'll really want to know what we think about.
Mass outcry.
Yeah, from our listener.
Yeah.
Where were you? Well, somebody worked up the stats of the number of times that we've missed this year, apparently.
Yeah, someone did that.
And was...
Yeah, I'll say it again though. One way to express your missing of us is to go onto the Apple iTunes page and write a good review, because two people who don't like us wrote bad reviews because they just don't like us.
I'm shocked.
Not because our podcast is bad.
I think we have an amazing podcast. Yeah. Our sound quality, as we say every time, and our banter.
Right.
So, well, thank you so much for listening, and we'll maybe, I don't know if we'll be back next week, but we'll be back someday for sure.